Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday.
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
What is up, champion? It's Sam Crowley. It's great to be back in the Everyday Saturday show. It's been a while, been a week. Was in Toronto. I just want to give the full review of that trip. Lessons learned. Sit back, relax, enjoy the ride. A lot of great lessons learned, not only just because of being on stage, speaking there, seeing Tony Robbins for the first time. You know, it's funny, in all the years I've been in this whole personal development, speaking game, all of that, never met the man. And got a chance to be front row at his presentation in Toronto. But, you know, it was a lot different than what I thought. It just hit me completely differently. Excuse me. Just completely differently than what I thought it was going to be. So really wild how that hit. Pitbull was there. And he launched his motivational speaking career in Toronto. So that was cool. And a whole bunch of other great speakers. So 15,000 strong. And then I came back and here with our family, and kids are getting ready to be on spring break next week. We're moving into our new house in a couple of weeks. Boy, there's a lot going on. So let me just back it up, because this show is about freedom. It's about why we do what we do, finding significance in your life and the things that you do, and the purpose and the things that you do. There's so many people, you might be one of them right now, that you're driving to a job and you're like, what in the hell am I doing driving to this job? Where am I going? Why am I even doing this? I'm just a hamster in a wheel. Buying things I can't afford to impress people I don't even like, with money I don't even have. And I'm doing it every single day. Sam, help me. Well, I've got good news and bad news. This show will inspire you. I can't help you. Nobody can help you. You need to help you. And it's not that difficult. That's the good news. Look, if I can find my way out of that wet paper bag from 15 years ago, you can too. And the process is very simple to do. But man, it's that mindset. It's that voice in your head saying, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You know, you can't do this. Don't you remember all the failures that you've had? Don't you remember all those different things that you've tried to do and it never worked out and blah, 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 blah. And man, that stuff still gets to me. Still, you know, still, as long as I've been doing what I've been doing, I still hear that voice in my mind and I battle it all the time. And it causes me to have up and down days. It's the beauty of the entrepreneurial journey, because anybody that, well, heck, forget entrepreneur, just the journey. Life, you know, you don't have cancer. You haven't been 90 days to live. You haven't been given 90 days to live, rather. You know, are your kids healthy? You healthy? I don't even understand how, this is what I try to ask. I try to figure out answers to life, which is pretty funny. You know, the answer to life, the secret to life. I'm a life coach. I'm not a life coach. After you work with me, you might need a life coach, but I am not that. I don't even know what a life coach is. I don't know what a life coach does. If you are one and refer to yourself as one, that's great. Look, enjoy it. Monetize it. Help people out. You know, just help people. I'm not really big on titles. You know, I don't think anybody has life figured out, but I'm just not big on titles. I hate the term motivational speaker. My kids still don't know what I do for a living. They've never seen me go to a job. So when their friends ask them now that they're in high school and middle school, what's your dad do for a living? He's a motivational speaker. I'm like, oh. So I can only imagine, you know, when they go home to their parents, like, so what's the Crowley girl? What's their dad do? Oh, he's a motivational speaker. Oh. Just when you hear that, you know, oh boy. Like Chris Farley on Saturday Night Live, I'm going to come over to their house and pull my pants up, my belt, and say, down by the river. Is that even the motivational speaker guy? Do I got my Saturday Night Live segments mixed up? But all of that just runs through my mind. I want significance. Hell, you want significance. You know, you don't want to be driving to a job just to say that you went somewhere. To do what? To get a paycheck? That's it? That's it. So let me ask you a question. Let's just kick the show off. Before I even get into Toronto, and I will, I want to share what just the thoughts I had from seeing Tony and all these other people there. And just hit me completely different than I thought it would. And not in a very good way, by the way. Can we keep it real, or do we got to be lying and saying everything's wonderful? It didn't hit me the right way. And that's not even bad. It just didn't hit me the right way. But what amount of money? Let me ask you this question. What amount of money would make you the happiest? $5,000 a month? $10,000 a month? $20,000? $50,000? $100,000? I've earned all that in an hour. Never did make me any happier. I know if you've never earned that kind of money, especially in an hour, you're probably thinking, dude, give me those kind of problems. Well, it's kind of like what Jim Carrey said, the famous Jim Carrey quote. You can Google it. Go ahead and Google the Jim Carrey quote. And it's something like this. I wish everybody could be famous for at least one day to see how it's just not all that. All right. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but it isn't. It isn't that. It isn't that at all. Having money even for an hour, $100,000. I remember looking at my bank account. I had I went to this event, sold $125,000 in an hour. So let's just say I had $130,000. Maybe I had $5,000 in my checking account before I went to that event back in 2011. Crushed it from the stage. It was great. And I remember 2 days later, after it all cleared and the sales were run through, I logged online. Oh, no, I know what I did. I went to the ATM machine, took out $20, and said my balance was $130,000. I'd never seen that on an ATM receipt ever. Usually it's like just enough money in there paying the bills is like $1,200, $1,500, something like that. $130,000 in my checking account. Like, wow, okay. I didn't immediately think, well, we're moving. Hey, let's go to Malibu. I didn't say I'm getting a new car. I was driving a Chevy Venture minivan, and we did have a Denali, Yukon Denali at the time, but we had a family of five. We had three kids, my wife and I. So we had big SUVs, minivans, things like that, transport the family around. But still, the minivan was paid off, had like 120,000 miles on it. The Denali was a few years old. We were turning that in to get another car. And I remember thinking, I'm not getting a new car. I'm just going to get another minivan or something. It's just nothing hit me. It's like it was the weirdest thing. I remember looking at that ATM machine receipt and thinking, boy, I got $130,000 in my checking account, and I don't know what to do with it. Like, so immediately I started getting rid of it because that's what I'm used to doing. I'm broke, was born broke, never had a dime in my pocket. Even through my corporate years, I was always just shedding money. Subconsciously, I'm always going back to where I came from, which is $0 anywhere near me. That's it. Because I never equated happiness with money. Growing up in Bradford, PA, as the youngest of eight kids, single parent family, dad walked out when I was a couple months old. I had a great childhood. It was a lot of fun. It was fun because of the friends I had, not because of the money we didn't have or had. We didn't have any, but it wasn't because of the money. It wasn't because certainly a nice car. I mean, God, our cars, it was like something out of a movie. You had to hotwire the damn thing underneath the steering wheel just to get it going. I remember we grew up on 9 Elm Street in Bradford, PA. It was so cold in the wintertime. How cold was it? It was so cold in the wintertime that the ice would form on the inside of our windows, by the way, in our house. So there was ice on the inside of our windows, okay? And now we go out to our car. We have to go out to the car 20 minutes ahead of time just to get it started. Trying to get it to turn over. Puffs of smoke, like confirming the Pope type puffs of white smoke. Yeah, mainly black smoke probably, actually. Coming out of the exhaust just nonstop. Every morning between November and April. Yeah, it snowed on Mother's Day just about every year as well. But I never equated good times with money. So when I got older and I started making money, especially as a speaker, when I would look and see all this money in my account, I immediately had to get rid of it. I don't know if it because I felt like maybe I wasn't worthy of having that kind of money. I wasn't used to having that kind of money, but I immediately went and paid off every bill, every credit card, everything. I mean, I just paid stuff off because I didn't want the money in my checking account. Obviously, a percentage of that went to the government and things like that. But I just wanted it gone and I wanted bills paid off. I think probably scared. And I learned a lesson from that don't be afraid of money. Money is not evil, obviously. For the love of money is the root of all evil, not money itself. and what you do with it and how you earn it, and do you even feel good about earning it? And I remember when I had a job, the one thing I could say is that, boy, I put in 70, 80 hours this week. Sometimes I'd be working 7 days a week at the office just to keep up. And I remember thinking, oh, this paycheck, at least I earned it, you know? And when I left the business world, I'd go in the entrepreneurial world and think, well, I need to work this many hours. And that's not true. You don't need to work. You might work 140 hours a week. You might work four. There's no amount of hours. You know, I was reading, I don't know why this came out. I listened to 80s on 8 on XM Radio. And this will give you an idea of how people earn a lot of money. And it has nothing to do with the hours you work. And I've heard a lot of these stories from particularly songwriters, directors, actors, people like that. They just have a lot of intellectual property. So Neutron Dance, remember that song by the Pointer Sisters? Came out in, I think, 82, 83. It was Beverly Hills Cop, the original Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack. And it's by the Pointer Sisters. Neutron Dance, I'm just doing the Neutron Dance. Yeah, it's a pretty good rendition of it. Anyway, the lady that wrote that song wrote it with another gentleman, and they got in a room, and I think the other was like a kid, like maybe a 20-year-old kid and her, and they knocked it out in 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Song was done, written, ready for the movie. They didn't know each other. They didn't even know what to think. They had just a blank sheet of paper. Wrote the song in 30 minutes and ended up being a Billboard top 10, top 5. Hell, might even been number 1 for all I know. I just can't get the song. I remember watching Beverly Hills Cop. Funny movie, by the way. Eddie Murphy. And that song was just in my head all the time. It's like, get that song out of my head. And it was on MTV nonstop. And they wrote it in 30 minutes. Made a bazillion dollars from the royalties of the song. It's still played on XM Radio, 80s on 8, which is a station I listen to a lot. And that just goes to show. 30 minutes, millions of dollars, done. You don't need to put in an 8-hour day to make a lot of money. Now, what a lot of people don't see is you're putting in all that time learning and learning and learning how to do your craft, how to write songs, writing 500 songs that end up in the trash can for that one song that ends up on the Billboard Hot 100 and ends up being in a movie soundtrack, and it ends up paying you royalties 30 years after it was even made. I heard the same story about Paul McCartney for his song Live and Let Die and how he wrote that. And it was in 30 minutes he wrote it for the movie. Same thing, you know, came in, wrote it, got paid $10 million, left. Like, dude, you're only here an hour. That's all it took me to get the song out of my head. It was already in my head. You hear that about so many different things. I was listening to Adam Levine, Maroon 5. I listened to him being interviewed over the weekend. He wrote, it doesn't matter. The guy said Maroon 5's had a ton of hits. Pick one, wrote it in the same thing, 15, 20 minutes. These actors, actresses, songwriters, just thought leaders, I'll call them. It doesn't matter what they're in. If they're in the arts or if they're in the business like I'm in speaking, we all work hundreds and thousands of hours to perfect our craft, to just come up with one shining moment where that intersects with all this hard work you've done. And then comes what? Then comes the opportunity. That's what I saw in Toronto a lot. I'm going to speak to that in just a second when I was there this weekend. A lot of people searching for that real magical moment when, in fact, they haven't even put the work in yet. You know, that time I earned $125,000 in an hour selling from the platform was a result of a lot of road trips, driving in my car, just taking airplanes to these destination cities, to LA, to Chicago, to meet people, to Orlando, to Dallas, to driving to Nashville. And I remember just going in these rooms with 10 people in them, you know. Let me ask you a question. If you want to build a speaking career, would you be willing to put in 3 years of not getting paid at all? Maybe working part-time or full-time at a job or somehow to just keep food on the table? Because if you're willing to do that, you're going to be successful. If you're not willing to do that, you're not going to be successful. It's really that simple. That's the best advice I can give any young speaker. I train a lot of speakers, a lot of people in my Inner Circle coaching program. And when we coach one-on-one, I ask, what are you willing to do? Like, how far are you willing to go to get this thing done? And a lot of them are like, well, you know, I could go 5 months. Yeah, that's not going to do it, man. That's just not going to do it. Now, you might catch lightning in a bottle in 5 months, But Sam, you told that story about Hawaii where you got that 25 grand keynote and then you sold 150 grand of coaching after that. Yeah. That was 2008, July 2008. Yep, that's true. Remember, I quit my job May 6, 2005, went bankrupt, went back to my job in August of that year, and then started podcasting, writing, blogging, speaking for free anywhere I could. And remember, that was the beginning of 2006. So let's just say the summer of 2006 is when I started, you know, cranking up this whole every day of Saturday. My website went live, if you want to call it a website. I mean, it was mainly just, you know, a photo of me with no ability to even opt in. I had like that contact Sam page, and it was just silly. It was the best looking site. Paid a guy $3,500 cash to build it, which I could get in lead pages. I could do it for $37 right now. It's funny how far technology has come. It's like televisions, you know. You could buy a 60-inch TV at Walmart for $500. You would have spent $5,000 10 years ago, you know. So I had the nicest looking website, no way for anybody to opt in, but that went live in the summer of 2006. Everybody laughed at me. You suck. You're broke. What are you doing with this? You're still with a cubicle. Yeah, okay, I hear you. Yeah, no problem. You just keep doing what you do. I'll do what I do, and let's see who comes out and, you know, better off. I'm not even competing with you. You're not even in the same atmosphere I'm in. You know, you're in a job. You're always going to be in a job. You're always going to be working for money. You're always going to be exchanging hours for dollars. Eventually, I'm not. There's going to be a point in time where my life goes, there's going to be a fork in the road where I get my big break because I never gave up, and you're going to still be in a crappy job because you did give up and you settled. And you're going to continue to justify the fact that you settled to everybody that you know, and you're never going to hang around anybody who threatens you, and I'm going to hang around everybody who challenges me. See, people who are insecure bundles of fluff that never took a shot in life view in individuals who are actually living their purpose, being free, happy, excited, they view them as a threat. I view that as a challenge. Like, I'm in my own inner circle memberships. I'm in my own mastermind groups where people, what I consider a good day or a good month, they consider that like a half hour's worth of work. You know, oh, cool, you made 100 grand. I did that in 5 minutes because I've got this automated blah, 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 you know, or I sold a piece of software. Or you own 38 rentals? Great, I own 380. Yours are in a small town, mine are on the beach. You know, so I always want to be around people that challenge me. But you need to understand this much. You need to understand that your final, like this intersection of all the hard work that you've put in, it's going to pay off. But at the very beginning of your journey, you have to be willing to work for free. You got to be willing to just absorb body blow after body blow after body blow after software breaking down, you know, no money in the bank. How do you pay the bills? And take the pressure off. Get a job. Oh, I can't get a job. I want every day to be Saturday. That is every day is being Saturday. Saturday's a mindset, not a circumstance. Understand that much. Saturday's a mindset, not a circumstance. It's not, you know, where you live. Saturday's not your zip code. Okay, Saturday is your purpose. It's your significance that you're lending. It's your opus. It's what it is that you're going to be known for, you know. And don't get too caught up in yourself like all these other people. Oh my! I remember talking to a guy one time, a thought leader. I went to an event in New York, and pretty famous marketer. Not going to use his name. Not interested in embarrassing him, but you probably heard of him. Anyway, I said, hey, so, you know, what is it to get you going? I got a chance to ask him a question, a little roundtable, a panel discussion. You know, what is it to get you going? What do you like to be? I think I even used a word, maybe legacy, or what do you want to do? No, I didn't use it. He used legacy. I go, what is it to get you going? And he said, well, I would really like for my legacy to be, I'm like, oh, man, dude, I didn't go there. And he got all introspective and all about himself. I'm like, way too much. Tune him out. Got home, unsubscribed from his mailing list. It just not a good vibe. Didn't catch a good vibe. I was more interested in what his purpose was, what his passion was. You know, what is it that I'm not looking about, you know, you're not a president. I'm not looking for your memoir. I'm just asking, like, inspire me, man. What can I use to light my fire? What can my purpose be? And, you know, if you're not willing to work for free, absorb the body blows, and that's mental, that's physical. You know, you got to keep your mind and body sharp. You can't be in this entrepreneurial game. You just can't be in the game. So let me pivot. Talk about Toronto this past weekend. We're just going to go long. It's going to be a long podcast because I haven't recorded a show all week. You probably noticed. So hopefully, if you got to check out, pause it. We're almost at the 20-minute mark right now. Come back, listen, make a mark, know where you are. We're going to pivot. I'm going to talk about my thoughts on Toronto. Before I do, quick station identification. It's Sam Crowley, host of the Everyday Saturday podcast. Go to everydayisaturday.com. Make sure you're on my mailing list. Got a lot of promos, special offers that I'll be sending out to my list in the near future. Also, I've really enjoyed 2017 working with entrepreneurs and individuals, speaker clients, all of that. Helping them build their brand, helping them find their purpose and significance. Go ahead and either do one of two things. Send me an email, sam@everydayisaturday.com. Let me know you want to work with me one-on-one. Or just go to samcrowleycoaching.com, fill out the brief questionnaire. It's like four questions. And let me know a little bit about yourself. Set up a time for your 30-minute power call. And let's see if you're a good fit to start moving towards your Saturday. All right, that's samcrowleycoaching.com. Let's pivot. Toronto. Last Thursday, a week ago today, I left for Toronto. I actually stayed in Windsor. And I don't know if you've ever been to Windsor, just a little bit north of Detroit. So I took I-75 from Cincinnati up through Ohio, Michigan, crossed over the border, got to Windsor maybe 8:30 at night. Checked in. Shout out to the Stonecroft Hotel. Appreciate you guys. Great room. Thanks for all the love. The Tim Hortons coffee. Great coffee. Shout out to Timmy Ho. Got up the next morning, Friday morning. Drove into the city. Took about, I don't know, another 4 hours to get to Toronto. And we had a speakers meeting for the event. So all the speakers that were speaking, there's probably 20 of them or so, met up. A little bit of an intro about yourself. Then you met with a promoter, went over what you're going to talk about. Then we got a chance to look at the main stage. All of us were in breakout rooms. And then the main stage was for Tony Robbins, for Pitbull, for the Flip and Flop people, and everybody, all the famous people, okay? Us commoners had breakout rooms, okay? The main stage, 15,000 people. I've never seen, outside of a concert or like a sporting event indoors, I've never seen 15,000 people. I've certainly never seen 15,000 seats, like chairs, in a convention center set up like that. This stage was ginormous. You could take a look at my Facebook page or Instagram, how that was set up. I put a photo out there of it, but holy moly, crazy stuff. It was awe-inspiring that, you know, like I just described for the past 20 minutes, this whole journey I'd been on, showing up where there was nobody there, not getting paid to speak, you know, all this incredible journey of just, you know, up and down and up and down, lands me in Toronto, Ontario, in this environment. I didn't speak on the main stage with 15,000 people. I had my own breakout room. If you were there, thank you. It was great seeing you. A lot of love from Toronto. I love Canada. People are just so nice to me and to my family, sending me nice notes, encouraging about my daughter, Susan, who is doing great as well. If you hadn't listened to the praise report, check that out last week, podcast about talking about my daughter, how we're going to try to have her trach capped this summer. Maybe, just maybe, get the trach removed this summer. But Canadians have always been so nice to me and my family. So the next day, Saturday, I only speak on Saturday. Just kidding. Every day is Saturday. Got up. My first presentation was at 11 in the morning. So I spoke in the breakout room at 11 a.m. And then I spoke again at 1 p.m. So boom, boom, 90 minutes, 30-minute break. The room was full. My room, we had to turn away. There was a line around the door and had to actually turn away. I was sad because I was hoping for a bigger room. I think my room might have held a couple hundred people or so. So times two, maybe 400 or 500 people. And the second presentation that I gave, there was a line around the door. If you're one of those people, I'm sorry. It's just fire code. You can't have standing room only. And every chair was literally filled up in the first, as soon as they opened up the door. It was just a great time, great environment. And then Tony Robbins came on stage at the very end, maybe around 4:30 or so. And I was in the very first row. I had my little speaker VIP pass. And I got to tell you, when Tony comes out, the energy is off the hook. The music's blasting, lights are flashing. It was just, it's amazing. And I just had a flashback. You know, here's a guy I listened to, the very first audio I listened to from Tony was Awaken the Giant Within. And it was just, the first couple of chapters of that audio really got me jacked up. Like, wow, this guy's got something going on. I first heard of Tony back in the 90s. I used to see his infomercials. And then a girl I was dating went to see him, actually in Toronto, drove up from Buffalo. I was living at the time. She went up to see him in Toronto, came back like, I can do anything. I can do anything. I saw Tony Robbins. I'm going to just quit my job and run east looking for a sunset. It's just nuts. I could think I can conquer the world. I was like, wow, who is this Tony Robbins guy? And I'll tell you, he does bring the energy with him. Here's where it got a little, I don't know, here's where it kind of changed for me a little bit. So many people were like, almost like it was like they were seeing the Beatles, okay, in the form of this one individual. And they were almost, you could tell, some people were just like fainting that they saw Tony. Now, he's got a book on the number one New York Times bestseller at the moment right now, Unshakable. He had his documentary on Netflix, I'm Not Your Guru. He's hot right now. I mean, look, he had Oprah. He's on Oprah all over the place. He's everywhere. Tony's all over the place now. His events, he's probably doubled the price of going to any of his events, Date with Destiny, anything like that. He is what's hot right now in the speaker, personal development niche. But let's not lose sight of who's actually in control. You know, I mean, God is in control. He is not God. And it kind of made me a little uncomfortable watching, not everybody, but some people almost like fall at the feet or just try to touch his shirt as if they were, you know, going to be blessed for the rest of their life. I didn't get that. I didn't understand why that was happening. And you might be saying, Sam, don't you do that at a New Edition concert? Yeah, but trust me when I tell you. I mean, I have a lot of fun at a New Edition concert. And if I met them, it would be just off the hook amazing. But I'm not looking to them for my answers to my life's purpose. Now, here's the thing. Tony has been sent from me. I mean, this is my perspective. Tony has been given a gift from God to give to you, to give to me, to give to everybody, to inspire, to motivate, to share his story. I mean, I think his mom had seven different, I don't know, if, I can't remember his story. Did she have seven different husbands or they moved to seven different apartments? Something. I mean, it was completely dysfunctional. He grew up in a completely dysfunctional family. So just his story is just crazy about how dysfunctional it was. And he even joked about it at the event that he spoke at. It's like, hey, do you think you might be the problem, Mom? Not anything else. And, you know, I believe Tony has been sent to us to share a message of hope, of inspiration, to give you specific strategies that you can use, that you can use, okay? That you can use, not to come to scream at you and yell at you and put a lot of sound together with lights and jumping up and down so that if you are just in his presence, you are blessed and your ticket has been punched to heaven. And when you leave and you wake up the next morning, you're going to be a completely different person. That just doesn't work that way. And I felt a little deflated because I could see the body language and I can hear what people were saying. And I was thinking, you know, your life isn't going to change at all tomorrow unless you do something, and just something different. Coming to this event is not going to do anything. And even Tony said that, you know, anybody worth their salt says that, you know, what my words aren't going to do anything. That's why I wasn't a big fan of The Secret when it came out, you know, the movie 10 years ago, because it painted a picture that all you need to do is just envision in your mind what you want your ideal life to be like. And when you wake up the next day, boom, it's going to change. It's just, it's not that way. And it really just bothers me when I see individuals looking for the answer. Yeah, I'm going to Toronto. I want the answer. I want you to get, nobody's going to give you the answer. Now, we'll give you lessons. We'll teach you what's happened in our experience. Some people like to learn from Sam Crowley. Some people like to learn from Tony Robbins. Some people like to learn from somebody else. Doesn't matter who you learn from. I will tell you, whatever you're seeking, you're going to find it in the individual who's giving you that message. In this, I mean, if you really are seeking something, it doesn't matter who you learn it from. You know, I've recommended the book Chasing Daylight. Hundreds of people have said, dude, change my life. Good. That's great. I've recommended the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. People's like, dude, wow, that book, amazing. I've recommended the book Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, gentleman who was in the concentration camp and saw some of the most horrendous things ever. The man found meaning in a bowl of dirt water called soup in the concentration camp. If you've never read that book, that's actually a really good one to read, Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. Some people read that book and said that changed their life. Here's the thing. When you're ready to change your life, whatever you're in front of right now, you might be driving right now thinking, you know what, Sam? I just thought of what it is I want to do. Good. Then go do it. You might be on the treadmill right now thinking, Sam, you did it, man. I didn't do anything. My goal with this show and anytime I speak is to inspire you just through what I've done in my life. You know, if what I've done interests you, that's great. Subscribe to this podcast. Let's connect. That's awesome. You know, I'm trying to minimize my life. I'm trying to get away from 15,000 people. And I don't mean that in an ungrateful way. Don't get me wrong. There was a time in my life I was seeking the spotlight. I really was. I was seeking the big stage. I was seeking the million-dollar payday. I was seeking the Mercedes. I was seeking the big home. I've had all of that. And what I'm here to tell you, I didn't want any of it. I just didn't want any of it. So when I saw all of these people in Toronto, I felt, boy, you're like I was 5-10 years ago. That's where I used to be. Now I want to deliver just amazing content. Just I want people to look at my content, whether it's this audio. I'm launching my Inner Circle community, which you'll be more than welcome to come on in. It's going to be a monthly continuity program. You're going to be charged a premium to come on board trainings with me and other Inner Circle members and learn how it is that you're going to monetize your passion. You know, we're going to keep it simple. It's going to be a very easy way to go through the content. It's going to be a very easy way to learn. And that's really what I want to do this year. And it was really inspired by the latter part of 2016 into 2017, where I really was very intentional and I was going to coach this year. Of course, I've coached people one-on-one over the years, but I never made it intentional. I never like made that the primary focus of my business and of my life. And since I've been doing it for the first quarter of this year, I've seen the results. And I've seen the people I'm working with, and I see how good it makes me feel. I look forward to coaching calls. I look forward to hearing what's going on in the lives of my clients. And even if it's that struggle, I look forward to helping them get through that, because there's not too much somebody's going to tell me now, after I've been in this game over 10 years, that I haven't already either heard of myself, experienced most likely myself, and can help them through. But nobody's going to be able to help you or anybody through anything unless you're willing to accept where you are right now. Where are you right now? You're broke? Great. At least you accept that. Don't lie to yourself. Because if you lie to yourself, then your whole business is built on a false premise. If you can't say, okay, here's where I am right now. I've got bills totaling $6,000 a month. I have income coming in of $2,000 a month. That's where I'm starting. If you can't acknowledge that, then you're never going to have success, because you're starting, it's like building a foundation on just a bunch of sand and not cinder blocks, okay? Put the blocks down and say, okay, this is where I'm at. All right, next question is that you want to answer is, what is it? What is it that you're going to stand for? What is it that you're going to do to add value, not only to the lives of other people, but to your life, to add significance? What is going to give you significance? It's not the money. It's not the cars, not the houses, none of that. What is it that's going to give you significance? And forget, just suspend right now any thought about income, money, anything like that. But Sam, you just said, I've got no money. Yeah, no, I get that. But don't let the money drive, because you can monetize anything. You can monetize. That's what my Inner Circle Coaching Club is going to be. We're going to talk about all the different ways you can send out a newsletter. You can have a digital membership. You can speak. You can monetize anything, coaching, consulting, whatever it is that you want to do. Okay. But for right now, don't settle. Most people make the mistake of they want to not do what they want to do. They want to do what makes money. And I'm telling you, you're going to run into adversity in both of those scenarios, something that you love to do and something that you don't like to do. So wouldn't it make sense to build your business or this thing that you want to do? Wouldn't it make sense to build it during something that you really love? Because if you're going to have adversity, which you know you are, for example, I use my personal journey of going to speak for free. I love to share a message from the platform. I love it, which is really weird because I'm an ex-stutter. The thought of speaking in front of a group of people, I used to sweat so badly, I would go through a stick of deodorant a day. I mean, that's how bad I would get the pits from my arms down to my waist just thinking the day I had to give a speech in class or something in junior high or high school. It just terrified me. So to say I love to do that now, that should give you a sense of empowerment that, wow, I can do that, whatever it is. The thing you need that you're fearing the most is probably the thing you got to do the most. So if you think about, you know you're going to have adversity, you know you're going to have some tough times, speaking for free, for example, the one I just used. If you don't love what you do, you're going to be taken out of the game. Because then you're just going to say, oh, this sucks anyway. I don't want to do this. No, you can't do that. You have to be, man, I love it. Bring it on, man. Bring it on. I love what I do. I'm willing to stay in the game. I love what I do. Because then it makes it a lot easier to absorb the body blows when you're really sold out for what it is that you love to do, as opposed to just what most people do. I hate it. I'm calling in sick today. I hate my job, so they don't pay me, and blah, blah, blah. I don't ever call in sick. I don't ever call in sick, and I'm not even saying I'm special. Do I get sick? Of course. I get a head cold, you know, things like that. Not as much as I used to because I drink the green smoothie. Shout out to Vitamix. Appreciate the blender. They didn't give me one, by the way. I don't even know why I just said that. I gave them $450, so shout out to Vitamix. How's that? By the way, follow Vitamix on Instagram and Pinterest and Facebook. Dynamite recipes out there. But I don't get as sick as much as I used to. But when I do, I still open my laptop, still send emails, answer people, coach people. Why? Because I really enjoy doing it. It actually, here's the thing. When you love what you do, your passion, that muse that you're doing, that's going to actually be the therapy for you that pulls you through the bad moments, as opposed to the thing that you run away from, makes you even sicker. You ever got up and said, I'm not going to work today. Screw it. Not even doing it. I'm so sick, or work's going to make me sick. Some people, work kills them. Most heart attacks happen between 9:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. on Monday morning. No coincidence. That's when they happen. Why? Because people would rather die than to go to their job. And I would rather get up, open my laptop, or turn on this microphone, or shoot a video. That gets me in the state I need to be in, because I made the decision back 10 years ago that I was going to do what I actually love to do. And so if I'm going to go broke, I'm going to go broke doing what it is that I love to do. All right, I'm not listening to anybody anymore. I mean, all of these voices in my head that kept me down, and all of this bull crap that people tell me that I can't do this. And, you know, you can tell who, it can be anybody, family, friends, acquaintances. They'll all sabotage your success if you allow it to happen. You know, people think they know who I am from back in the day. Yo, yeah, I remember you used to get drunk. Yeah, it's when I was 25. I was. Boy, did I love to get drunk. You're right. I drank a lot. Party animal. Liked golf a lot, too. Haven't golfed. I played 9 holes with my buddy Mike in Hershey, PA in May of 2012. 5 years ago. The last time I even touched a golf club. Prior to that, it was 5 years before that. So in the last 10 years, I've golfed one time. Why? Because I've got 4 kids now, one of them critical, okay? If I go golfing, it's a minimum of 5 hours away from my house. I don't care if you get around in 4 hours, you still got to get to the course, okay? I'm not taking 5 hours away from anything now. Why? Because I love to do this. I wouldn't be able to do this right now. I wouldn't be able to create content. Wouldn't be able to be there for my kids. Wouldn't be able to be there for my wife. So I don't want to golf anymore. You know, hey, you're not the same guy. You don't go golf. Yeah, you're right. I'm not. You've changed. Well, what the hell do you think? I worked this hard to stay the same? Like, seriously? I know you have. You're still sitting on the same bar stools, telling the same dick jokes. You're still, you know, watching football. I get it, man. That's good for you. Good for you. But as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve my family. I'm going to serve my client base. And if I go up in flames, it's going to be doing what it is that I really love to do. It's not going to be doing what someone else like you wants me to do. That's absurd. That's ridiculous. Okay? So my challenge to you today, let me wrap up the Toronto visit. All in all, I loved Toronto. A, because I love the city. B, I love the country. Canadians are always so nice to me. C, I love to speak. I would speak for free. I would gladly speak for free, anywhere, anytime, any place, to share the message of hope, of inspiration that you too can make every day Saturday. I loved it, okay? It was a long drive home the next day because I took the whole trip afterwards. The next morning, got up and drove straight back to Cincinnati. But I just had a lot of these thoughts, and I was going to record this for you Monday, but you know, our baby wasn't feeling well, our little toddler Susan, for the first couple days this week. and a lot's been going on. We're moving into our new home. We've had the home inspection this week. Got a lot. We just have a lot going on, okay? And so I wanted to share this message with you. I'm glad I got it to you today. And here's really what I want you to think about, all right? Think about doing what it is that you love to do for free as long as it takes, just as long as it takes. However you got to take the pressure off, getting a job, two jobs, three jobs, do it. Just there's no shame in that, all right? There's no shame in that. Here's the worst thing you can do. Put a time frame on your success. There is no time frame on your success, okay? My faith tells me God's timing is the perfect timing. Same thing with the sale of my house. I listed it January 7th. I thought it was going to be listed at a price that would get us an offer in 30 days. Well, it didn't get us an offer in 30 days. I dropped the price $30,000. Didn't get us an offer in 60 days, but it got us an offer in 63 days, 64 days, and I listed it at the worst time of the year, January 7th in the Midwest. It's 4 degrees outside. Nobody's looking at houses. I had an expectation, which sabotaged really everything. It shouldn't. Your expectations don't really amount to a hill of beans. Now, you can expect to deliver greatness for your client. You can expect to be happy. You can expect to go to the gym, all of that stuff, but don't put that on your success, because then you're just going to sabotage it. There's no even rationale for, you might have success faster. I told you from the summer of 2006, I launched my website live on the internet to my first speaking gig in 2008, that 25K and then turned into 150. That's great. It was awesome. Okay. But had that happened in 6 months, I would have been taken out of the game 6 months later. I wouldn't even have known how to appreciate that. And even 2 years was fast. To get that kind of success in 2 years was lightning fast when you compare it to a 40-year corporate career. So I'm not sure I was even prepared for it in 2008. I gladly accepted it, but I wasn't prepared for it. I got big-headed. I got complacent. To put my feet up on the desk for a few months. Didn't have to work. Bills are paid. Do you know who I am? Sam Crowley, international speaker. I was a big ass, you know? I mean, I was just an idiot. I shouldn't even have got success. I didn't even deserve it that quickly. And I'm talking about 2 years and just 3 years after filing bankruptcy. I didn't even deserve that success that quickly. But I accepted it, learned from it, and I want you to learn the same thing. Now, my goal is not for you to take 5 years to make the money you want to make, but don't put a date on when your success should happen. Put one foot in front of the other, all right? Start planting seeds of greatness in your business. Plant seeds in other people's lives. The best thing you can do as a human being is to impact somebody else's life in a positive way. That's planting a seed. There's no money involved with that. Take somebody out for coffee. Listen to them. Help them out with their problems. Give them an ear. All most people want is just to know somebody's actually listening to them. You can lean on me. You can't whine on me, but you can lean on me. And look, if you've been given 90 days to live, yeah, then you can whine on me, because look, let me tell you, that is serious stuff. Okay, if you're somebody like that, God bless you. That's what the whole book Chasing Daylight's about. That's why I want everybody to read that. That's why you should read Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl, because those are real life issues. My website doesn't work. I need to make 10 grand a month. Those aren't real issues. Those are just dumb. All right, all of it can be fixed, and it's mainly your mindset and the website. You can get somebody on Fiverr for $5 to fix. Okay, start majoring in big things. Don't major in minor things. Most people major in minor things, and that's how they sabotage their success. They set expectations. They put a date on their success when it should happen. Based on what? Based on what? Somebody on the internet that you follow? Well, I followed so-and-so. They're doing 100 grand a month. Yeah, they probably got 10 years of failed misery behind them that they're not talking about. You know, take them for coffee and get the real story, because I promise you, it is not even, there's nobody I know. I can't think of anybody I know, and I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people doing some amazing things in and out of the marketing arena. None of them are an overnight success. None of them. None of them. Just within a few months, caught lightning in a bottle and crushed it, made a ton of money. Nobody I know. Okay, but everybody I know who's doing well stayed in the game. They just stayed in the game. I promise you this much, that on the other side of your pain, on the other side right now of your pain that you're in, is an amazing prize waiting for you if you can just hang in there. Can you hang in there? If you can just hang in there. And that's what I wanted to tell everybody in Toronto. I literally wanted to grab the mic from Tony. Say, hey, Tony. Hey, Sam Krause. Stop. Stop the music. Like Otis Day and the Nights in Animal House. You know, walk in. Oh, the music stops. Who the hell are you, kid? I'm Sam Crowley from EverydaySaturday.com. Nice to meet you, everybody. Hey, I want to give it back to Tony, okay? Would love to give it back to him in just a minute. Let me tell everybody here, okay? This guy is not your guru. He's right. He is not God himself. He can do absolutely nothing for you, okay? Tony, you with me? Okay, just hang with me. It gets better. It gets better. Trust me. Just hang with me, Tony. Listen to me. Everybody here in Toronto that's here to see Tony Robbins, let me tell you something. If you don't do anything, if you don't take any action Monday morning when you wake up, if you finally stop selling yourself that stupid story that this success is reserved for some elite group or other people and you don't actually do something or go, when was the last time you acted on faith? Anybody here? That's going to be the show for tomorrow. Note to self, Tony, by the way, I do a daily podcast. Well, I'll try to do a daily. I haven't done a daily in a while. Getting back to daily, Tony. Check it out. It's every day is Saturday on iTunes. Bear with me. Hey, bear with me, TR, okay? Plug into the Everyday Saturday podcast, though. My next show, tomorrow's show, is going to be about when was the last time you stepped out in faith. Good topic. Love. Just came to me. All right, everybody else here, 15,000 strong, you better do something. You better get off your rusty duh. You better stop thinking there's a such thing as an overnight success. You better stop selling yourself short. Stop putting expectations on your success. Stop thinking there's a magic pill you're going to take and start doing something, anything right now. Because the next TR, Tony Robbins himself, is in the house right here. But if you don't start and you're not willing to absorb the body blows and you're not willing to stay in the game and actually do what it is you love to do instead of what it is that you hate because you love money more than it is your passion, think about that for a minute. Boom, value bomb drop, TR. You still with me? Hang tight, Tony, real quick. If you're not willing to do all that, you're done. Every day's Monday for you, okay? Get after it right now and draw that line right now. What is it you absolutely love to do? Because you can monetize anything. How to? Easy. Why you're doing what you're doing? Very difficult. How to? Easy. Why? Very difficult. So get out of your head and get going. Tony, back to you, buddy. And that would be what I would say if I was able to rip the mic out of Tony Robbins' hand in Toronto this past weekend. But I didn't do it. But I'm telling you. All right? Hope you enjoyed the show. We went much, much longer today, but it was worth it. I hope you enjoyed it. Hit me up on Twitter. I was going to say, shoot me a Twitter. Go ahead and shoot me a Twitter. At Sam Crowley. Email me, sam@everydaysaturday.com. Would love to work with you one-on-one. You can go to samcrowleycoaching.com. And let's see. We can work together and help you find your Saturday. All right. And you know what's coming, right? Have the best day ever!
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter @SamCrowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag #EverydayIsSaturday.